Call the meeting at 6 o'clock.
Recording in progress.
Call the meeting at 6 o'clock. And we have Alderman Clocher, Alderman Cope, and myself along with staff present. And any citizens comment in here or in Zoom land? No comments coming out of Zoom, right?
Nothing that I've seen.
No written comments. All right. Minutes for correction and approval, November 2nd, 2021.
I'm good.
And then new business, we're going to EDC 2021-39, the building permit report for October 2021. Mr. Pete.
Great. In October, we issued 123 total permits. 27 of those were single-family detached homes. 8 were single-family attached homes. The remainder were miscellaneous residential and commercial permits. So keeping busy.
So 27 permits were seen for all new construction for the month of November.
Yep.
Right? I'm sorry, October.
Yes. Yeah. We had 27 single-family homes, which are the standalone ones. Then we had 8. Single-family attached, those are as two townhomes for you now.
Is that up or down compared to last year?
We are still off from last year. We had 25 this month last year, but we had more single-family attached last year.
Gotcha. Okay. So,
and that was, those were all last year this time. We permitted a bunch of the ones that are by people over there early. And they did the foundations this time of year, and they kind of built them up through the winter time.
Perfect. All right, anybody have any questions on that? All right, moving on. EDC 2021-40, building inspection report for October 2021.
All right, October we ended up conducting 771 inspections. The majority of those were done by our in-house staff. We did outsource 154 inspections, and then 154 general inspections, and then we outsourced 132 plumbing inspections. Bob is still doing the majority of them, and I'm still doing the ones that I can. All other duties and stuff are going on. So.
Perfect. Are you seeing it slow down?
We still keep hearing from one of our builders. They're going to do the same thing they did last year and do a permit dump on us for the other one people over there. So that should be, I want to say they're doing 12 units.
Okay.
Permitting 12 units right away, so that'll pick us up.
This month still, or is that continuing in January?
That'll be in December from what they were telling me. They're trying to finish up the duplexes they're working on in Grand Reserve. And once that's 100% done, and Reserve's done, by the people, they'll be wanting those permits to try to hopefully get the foundations and for the weather turns a little better.
Perfect. Questions on that? Moving on. EDC 2021-41, property maintenance report for October 2021.
So in October, we ended up hearing 6 cases. Of those, the notable one, more likely would be the one on Worsley. That is the one where Worsley kind of dead ends into Gone Lane there.
Can I stop you? Can you move over here while you do your reports? If anybody is going to do reports, I think it's easier to hear by the speaker. I apologize. But just because we have a lot of Zoom participants, it makes it easier. Thank you.
Of those 6 cases that were heard, the most notable would be the Worsley Street, 105 Worsley. That was the one where we had a complaint where there was cars and stuff in the city right away. So we worked them and eventually we had to remove the cars. And then there was fence was there, all their trash, all that stuff was removed. He is working on putting a separate driveway slash parking pad on his own property currently, which has become another issue for residents in the area, but nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly valid by our code. So he's proceeding with that. Hopefully we won't have a problem in the future. The rest of the ones that were, you know, the big ones that looked like crazy was the Henny Lane with certain weeds and grass. That's been that problem, that property's been a problem, you know, month after month after month. trying to take care of it, but it's kind of hard to weed in between gigantic log piles. Our ordinance is differentiating between weed throwing in log piles and weed throwing in the park. They have all cut down, so. We recommend spraying. That's it for that.
All right. EDC 2021-42, Economic Development Report for November 2021.
She's actually in Las Vegas this week at the ICSC conference, the retail shopping centers. So if anybody has any questions, I can for sure take them back to her and get any updates that you would need.
What's Sephora?
Makeup.
Oh, okay. I love that Joe knew that.
So Kohl's didn't sell makeup before this?
Yeah, it's, I guess.
It just says they're adding a Sephora and
It's a company now.
In the store.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out what it was and I was going to look it up then.
It's like when the cell phone company set up inside of Target and stuff.
Okay.
All right. I think kind of piggybacking on to the Econ Development Report, we do have a ribbon cutting at Well Financial on, what is it, Thursday at 4 o'clock. So if that is coming up, that's another one I know this week I have. All right. EDC 2021-43, the Kennewood Estates Development Agreements.
Kristen, you're up. So if you're familiar with this location, it's a stalled subdivision. So the property was annexed in the late 70s into Yorkville. And then in the mid early 2000s, the developer came and re-subdivided the property into 83 single family lots. It's about 50 acres of Kevin Wood. And nothing happened at that point. That's when the economy kind of stalled. So a successful developer is through investment purchase of the land. And then we entered into a sub agreement with that developer to allow them to not have any security on any of the infrastructure that wasn't built. And the infrastructure that wasn't built was the water line that was supposed to connect from 126 into the subdivision because it's in two separate pressure zones. At that time, no activity happened, and then recently this property was purchased by Raleigh Homes, and Raleigh Homes is in the position to begin developing the site. So the development agreement is a couple of components. One is they're seeking to reduce the land cash value from $101,000 per acre to $55,000 per acre, which is consistent with what we've done with previous developments within the last year, year and a half. They're also asking to allow them to build in the original pressure zone, or that northern pressure zone area, where the infrastructure is already existing. So they're asking, if you look in the packet, there's a diagram that shows the 43 or so lots that they would be able to build on without having to connect to the sewer, to the water main on 126. So they're asking us to allow them to build before looping the water system on those identified parcels that have water to that site. And then they, during construction, they could build out that water main system so that it could loop and then they can be allowed to construct the remainder of the lots. As part of that water main system, that water main originally had an easement purchase for it to be constructed within the area that is now dedicated to be the future water in 2026. So we're asking that the developer acquire additional easement along that property of 126. There's an intersecting property between this development and 126, so they have to purchase additional easement so that they can relocate the water main outside of that future right-of-way. And they are willing to do that with the consent of the city to allow that future developer to get one free water main. But we are okay with that at the staff level. If the EDC, the City Council, will okay with that, they would have to enter into a separate agreement. It would be a three-party agreement between us, that parcel's current owner, which is Grace Church and the developer. So those are the requests that they have made in this agreement. There is an attached fee sheet that is part of this agreement. We are asking that fees be locked at that level for a period of 5 years, and that they are allowed to construct during the time that they're doing a water main connection, but they would have to be completed with that connection by May 31st of 2024. I don't know if I can't see if the developer is on the call or not. If you have any questions, you can tell me on the bottom, or his engineer from HR Green. But staff is here to answer any questions, and we hope to bring this forward to City Council on January 11th for public hearing.
Anybody have any questions for that?
So, this subdivision, is it going to have an entrance at 126?
No, it's not.
It isn't? So it's just going to be a one in, one out?
Well, there is a secondary entrance point. You can zoom in on that image. There's like a little appendage finger that connects to 126. Yeah. That is going to be an emergency entrance for access if such time that there is no way to get out of the main entrance off the Benjamin and then in.
Yeah, okay, I thought that we were refraining from one in, one out.
So we are refraining from having a not having a dedicated connection. This property originally was supposed to have a dedicated connection, mm-hmm. but during staff conversations with the outside agencies like fire, they were okay with having that emergency access point, that secondary. Okay.
Which
map, which one
were
you looking at?
The big, it's a big, like, looks like a Google map.
On page 61 of the map.
Yeah.
61, okay.
You can see that there's a little arrow down one bottom side of it, south side of it. I just thought it looked like a stub, and that's why I thought maybe that's going to be a connection. That's where I thought maybe the water was going to come in at, too.
No. That was a temporary access point, and they were originally supposed to connect this development. 2126. It's not saying that could not happen if the developer of Wheelstone would connect. You see there's a stone at the top, but right now they're not requiring that connection.
And this is a TIF property, so this would help the TIF if this builds out, right?
I don't know if it would help the TIF or not. It's residential, so that's a policy decision if it's going to stay within the TIF or not.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe we'd help with that.
All right, any other questions on this one? All right, we will move on. EDC 2021-44, Lisa Lee.
Okay, so all of you all are familiar with Lisa Pickering. She's our city clerk for a long time, and so in her honor, after her recent passing, staff has sought to find a way to memorialize her in the city of Yorkville. She served 16 years here on staff, and she's been a resident of Yorkville for at least that long. So she was an avid biker, and there was a path that she kind of took, a route that she would take when she would do her bike ride. It's about 20 miles, and there's a map that shows that area. So we were hoping to do a virtual bike path in her honor, and we would connect that with a digital path online through a map, story map, which would take you through various locations along the path and kind of tell you a little bit about Lisa. And then the city can promote it through maybe a hashtag campaign, like Lisa Lee Yorkville or something in her honor. We share this information with her family, and they're very happy about that as well. And the Parks Department, in conjunction with this virtual path that community development is doing, they're going to propose a stone pillar along that path that we have kind of like a plaque on it. This is named. The actual virtual path. So if you have any comments or feedback or some direction, go ahead and take that and and then we'll move forward with this and bring it back to you before it goes live.
Great.
No, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect. EDC 2021-45, 55 Riverside Street, 1.5 miles from you.
All right, this is a rezoning request that's coming through Kendall County. It is within our 1.5 mile planning boundary. So the city gets a review to give either informal feedback or formal feedback or just no comment either way. But it's a way for us to let them know what's going on, and if there's future land use issues in the future, it kind of gives us a heads up on what's going on in the county. Ryan Hendricks, on behalf of Baca Properties, is requesting a rezone from his property from A1 to B3, or R3, sorry. The 2.7 acre property is at the end of Tuma Road, where it intersects Riverside Street. It's just southeast of Hartman Circle in Yorkville, in between Hartman Circle and the river. Reason that he is requesting a rezone is he would like to use his property, divide it at some point in the future, and build two single family homes on these nearly 3 acres. The county does not allow in the ag district more than one home for every 40 acres. So to build a home on it, if even one, he needs to rezone it. So that is his request. Looking at surrounding properties, just to the east and the northish, there are a couple R3 properties. Everything else directly adjacent to him is also A1. But it should be noted, most of the properties along Tuma Road there are zoned R3. The R3 district, just to give you a heads up, the R3 district in the county is not like ours. That R3 district has a minimum 45,000 square foot lot size. So the R3 in ours is for townhomes and more dense. The R3 in the county is still per acre lots. So when we look at really for this, we're really just looking at the vertical comprehensive plan. Would a development with a couple homes here fit within our long-term vision of the future? Our comprehensive plan for 2016 states this area as the state conservation residential, which is for single-family homes on large lots. The county's R3 district actually matches up with our E1 district, so even if this was annexed to the city, it would probably fit right into that R1 E1, even if there's one or two houses there, because even divided in half, it would still be about an acre and a half, an acre and a third per property. We are just looking for your feedback tonight. This will go to the Planning and Zoning Commission tomorrow, and then it will come back to you in January at City Council. I did also want to note, this went to Kendall County ZPAC meeting yesterday. The neighbors that have filed many of the neighbors have filed a petition against wanting to go against this rezone, stating it's not in character with the area. There are some wetland issues. We got this, a couple hours ago. So printing out some packets if you want to read it now, but this will be included in the January City Council to make sure you guys have all the information. But at the moment right now, I believe Brian Hendricks is on Zoom. If you guys have any questions for him, or if you have questions for me, or want to provide any comments, we will move those along to the county.
I also wanted to read a public comment that we got today via email so that you all would have it ahead of this agenda item. So it is from Michael Adams. I represent D.M. Studler, Ronald G. Mund, and SISO LLC of 34 Riverside Street and 40 Riverside Street. They want to pre-register regarding this item. This relates to the proposed map amendment to rezone 55 Riverside Street from A1 to R3. My clients object to this proposed map amendment. A copy of the formal objection is attached for consideration by Yorkville EDC and the Yorkville Planning Commission. The basis for the objection are as follows. 55 Riverside Street is subject to covenants, conditions, and restrictions that limit the number of single-family residences to one per lot. The purpose of this proposed map amendment is to allow the applicant to build two homes on this lot. The density of the proposed development is not compatible with the surrounding community. The property in question includes wetlands that will be destroyed. If the map amendment is allowed and the proposed is developed as requested, the sanitary conditions in the area will worsen. The amount of floodplain and lack of buildable soils on the lot make the construction of two homes impossible and R3 zoning improper. An R3 designation includes retail and office use. The applicant has a history of failing to comply with local ordinances and of infringing upon neighbors and their properties. The applicant has failed to satisfy the conditions for a map amendment. I note that just this morning, the Kendall County ZPAC voted against the proposed map amendment with only one member voting in favor of it. If for some reason, this is from Michael P. Adams of Hinshaw and Culbertson's LLP.
And I hate to interrupt, but I'm from that firm as well, and am prepared to tell you why the ZPAC voted to recommend against it, if you would like me to. I don't want to go out of order.
Yeah, if you could state your name, though, for our man taker and everyone here.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Could you state your name first for our man taker?
Sure. You had actually invited Mr. Hendricks to talk first. That would probably be appropriate. But my name is Richard Porter, and I represent those same individuals that Mr. Adams does, which is E.M. Stubler, Ronald Munn, and SISO, S-I-S-O, LLC, and I'm at the law firm of Hinshaw and Culbertson. And I do have comments that can be made if I'm allowed to, and I'll leave that up to you guys.
And I'd like to talk also.
Okay.
Sure.
Whoever you'd like to hear from first, I'll tell
you. Mr. Edwards, you want to go first?
Yeah, that's another thing. Comment on some of the things as we are doing street zoning. This was recommended by the county, according to the LRMP, which is the Futures Land Use. Matt Asselmeyer, who recommended us today, the rest of them basically denied it because of the fact they were led by wrong information that a covenant says one house per lot, but it's one house per lot, anything less than 1 acre. I have more than 1 acre, so the covenants doesn't cover anything more than 1 acre. They only clearly say one lot per lot, or one house residence per lot, or anything less than 1 acre. And it's clearly written in the covenants. And I have 2.7 acres. And according to R3, I am doing exactly what the county is recommending me to do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hammer. And the other gentleman, I forget his name.
Sure. Thank you. It's Rick Porter.
Thank you, Rick.
And I represent several of the objectors. There are actually 9 different objectors. And there are multiple reasons that the ZPAC has recommended 8-1 to deny the zoning change. And cards on the table, we certainly would prefer that Yorkville take that same position. You have a right within a mile and a half to object to unreasonable zoning changes. And in this case, Mr. Hendricks' characterization of that there are all kinds of problems. This is a platted community from 1927. That plat explicitly required that there only be one home per platted property. Mr. Hendricks, I allowed you to talk. I'd ask you to do the same. That plat explicitly provided for a certain number of lots, and this is lot 183. The zoning code in Kendall County actually allows for the building of a home, even on A1 properties, when certain when they were platted before certain dates. This one complies with that. Mr. Atzelmeyer from the county, in our opinion, has erroneously indicated that Mr. Hendricks has to change zoning in order to put up a building or a dwelling on his property. He does not. It's zoned A1. The law is actually clear that he has a right to put up one single dwelling. But what he's trying to do is subdivide to a much higher density than the properties around that location. If you take a look at the objection that was filed, you're going to see that all the properties are much larger, or they've been combined such that there's one home on larger portions of property. That's only part of the problems here. This property is in floodplain. It's 90% in soils that are capable of wetland, and there actually are so there are hydric soils, and there are indeed wetlands on the property. In addition, so if you'll take a look, Mr. Hendricks didn't bother to come to the hearing today, but attached to the objection that Mr. Adams sent to you is the report of a wetland delineation, which explicitly finds that his property has wetlands on it. The fact that he didn't read it isn't our concern. The other issue is that this particular property is 90% on the very limited soils for buildings, such that it's only appropriate for lawns and landscaping over 90% of the property. For all of those reasons and others, and I don't want to take up your entire evening, Kendall County has made it clear, at least the ZPAC staff, that it does not recommend this parcel. And so you're aware there's a history of flooding at this area, and in particular over several roadways that exist there. And when it floods, there is a noticeable septic odor. The property simply that area cannot handle two more septic systems when rainfall, and already challenged with odor and flooding in that area. For all of those reasons, it would be a mistake for Yorkville to not object to this particular zoning request, as it appears that Kendall County itself. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Porter.
Can I speak on regards to the bottles on the comments?
Very, very quickly.
Okay, so basically, I know they're making it sound to be worse than it actually is. Our soils have never been bad down here. Our septic systems are all fine. There is no smell. We do flood every once in a while when we have ice dams. Our lot is in a floodplain, but we are not to the building. We're still off the building. We're about a half a foot below in some areas. Some survey was old, so basically, our elevations are off a little bit. Talk to tax surveyor about that. Well, let me read you the covenants actually from the thing that they're leaving out. Let me read it directly to you. No building shall be built on any of the lots in the subdivision, 8%, except private residence for the use and occupancy of one family only, and one family in such building shall be erected on any lot in said subdivision containing not to exceed 1 acre. So any lot under 1 acre, they're allowed one house, one family. That's clearly written in the covenants. And they clearly leave that out because it defies all their claims regarding one house per lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. Anybody else have any questions, comments regarding this? Perfect. Moving on. Thank you, everyone.
Just for the point, can I just say, if you guys had any feedback, like I said, this will come back to City Council. It's going to be planning zoning for tomorrow. So if you had any feedback you wanted me to give right away, or if you guys wanted to wait for City Council, we can wait till then as well.
Well, just a basic question I got here then is, it seems like it's not really our zoning that's being questioned here. It's more or less the county's rules and zonings. And
correct.
I would think before I would, City Council member would want to be for or against, I think the county zoning will take care of this particular problem.
It would supersede ours every time.
Yeah, it does. We don't have any, we couldn't refuse it anyhow if we wanted to, so, I mean, we can say no, we don't like it, but it's up to the county anyhow.
Right.
But if we do object, then the county would have to have
super majority.
To
you have someone over there.
Right.
And then just to clarify, that ZPAC, that Kendall County administered, that's a staff level, that's like when we have plan council and all the department heads get together. So that is not, they will still be going to their planning board and their Kendall County board for this request, and those are the elected officials, you know, that will actually vote. And also, like I said, for our mile and a half, we're really just looking at wood single family homes on large lots fit there, because that's what we have in our comprehensive plan, and that's what they're requesting. So we kind of, you're right, there are other issues at hand.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Building permit wise, and, you know, can we build a house there that would most likely be taken care of?
Okay. Thank you, appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, moving along here. EDC 2021-47. The Oswego, the YESD expansion, the variance.
Okay, so YESD is an integral part of development in Yorkville. Any project, either residential, commercial, industrial, we have to ensure that the sanitary district can handle that load so that, you know, properties function correctly and that development can happen. They are in the process of expanding their facilities based off of the continued expansion and growth of Yorkville. They also have other jurisdictional areas outside of Yorkville, and they are looking to gain a couple of variances from our ordinances so that they can maximize the facility that they have identified to the west of them. So it's about a 20-acre parcel to the west of their existing facility that they're looking to expand upon. So the variances, there's a little bit of history to tell you about when each of those parcels were annexed and what the zoning is on in the memo. We have a special use in the ag district. To jump to their specific requests, they are looking for variances to our stormwater detention ordinance. Stormwater management ordinance was adopted by the county, so it was a group of a lot of the communities got together with the county to carve out this regional stormwater management ordinance. And when we adopted it, we became a certified community, which meant that we can then issue permits for development based on those standards. So YBSD is seeking to do four variances. One is the stormwater detention. They are asking for full relief of the requirement to do on-site detention. They have provided reasoning and data to show that the stormwater runoff from the development would discharge directly to the Fox River, so there would be no downstream flooding properties. That they estimated that their peak stormwater discharges would not coincide with the high water flow in that area, and that the proposed development would have detrimental practices such as swales and buffer strips to mitigate, you know, that reduction of water quality because of the development. So staff is supportive of that request. The second request is full relief from compensatory storage on the site or off-site. So whenever you move earth in the area of a floodplain, you're required to replace such so that the balance is stabilized. And they are seeking to be relieved of that because they said that there would be no structures impacted by this development in that floodplain area, that there would be a minor loss of flood storage resulting from the filling that they would have to do, and that there is a dam or stream that provides that hydraulic control of the flood profiles. Staff felt that that was consistent with what IDNR requirements are, and that any other off-site locations that they identify potential compensatory storage, the benefit did not outweigh the challenges on those sites. So we are in support of granting that request. The third request is more specific to Yorkville's ordinances. We have a tree preservation and replacement requirement in our landscaping ordinance. They are requesting full relief because there are about 1,500 trees that would be required to be replaced somewhere on their site. There is nowhere possible for that to happen on site.
Right.
Staff we are in agreement with that. We are, though, asking them to provide us with a tree survey so that we can account for what was lost on the site.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then the last request, their property, what the existing facility is, they were given a reduction in site and all yard setbacks to 10 feet. This particular property, when it was annexed and rezoned for special use, did not have that. So we're requesting that this ordinance mirrors what they were given onto the existing property, and that because they're owned by the same entity, they're not proposing to consolidate the lots, we would still consider that in our zoning ordinance one single zone lot. But they will have that perimeter of a 10-foot setback for all buildings so that they can maximize the site. So the review process is going to simultaneously go through our process. Our process first with an variance, so it's going to go to our PCC meeting in January, and then City Council following that, and then they're going to go to the Kendall County's process because that's what the ordinance requires. But we have been working simultaneously with Kendall County during this process, staff has, so they are aware and they are in agreement with staff's position on all the variances. So Cyrus McVeigh is here, Wayne White USD.
Have any questions about their operations, but
other than that, we'll take any feedback and move along
to the PCC in January.
Any feedback questions? Do you
really need to expand? If the town wants to keep growing and sending us wastewater, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying like the lots that we wanted to develop that we're talking about, like, you might need a treat the water?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too.
How many trees did you put back?
I think probably zero.
You said one.
Maybe one.
Maybe one. I thought I saw one.
We can do one. Yeah. We'll probably try to do something along the front door or anything, but it's probably not going to meet whatever trees we're taking down in the next 5 years. Maybe more ornamental trees.
This will be similar to what Fox Line Metro did there in Oswego, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very similar.
And so, the compensatory storage, are you going to be removing any dirt that could affect the flow of water down, or how is that?
Yeah, we'll actually be filling in
the
dirt, because currently it's in a floodplain.
Okay.
So, in order to protect the buildings and all the equipment inside, we have to raise it from floodwaters, and then of course we have to raise the ground around it.
Sure.
So you have to take the canoe to the buildings during floods to contain the water. And then according to that, I can also speak from Baxter and Woodman, our consulting engineers. They're the ones that worked with the modeling along the Fox River that Steve mentioned, and we're not raising it above 90 an hour, statutes.
Okay.
Limits. It's a pretty wide spot in the creek.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Wide on the river.
Any other questions or feedback that you guys have?
No.
No?
I think it's needed, so.
Anything else you have?
I was just going to say thanks to Chrissy. That was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, EDC 2021-47, Oswego Yorkville Boundary Agreement, Mr. Engler.
All right, so if you recall, we brought this full boundary agreement update with Oswego at our October 5th meeting. Since that time, the mayor here and the village president of Oswego have gotten together and discussed the language in it, the major changes, mainly being the boundary line itself and self-determination zones. So really quick, going over our last Economic Development Committee meeting, there were lots of minor changes. We didn't get a lot of feedback on those. A lot of those were kind of just, yes, those are good. The main one was the boundary line itself. If you'll recall, Oswego was looking to develop Hideaway Lakes on their side. So if they ever want to annex it, it would go Oswego as opposed to Yorkville. You know, with the continuation of South Key Park there, and just in general, they see that it's more of an Oswego amenity. They were looking to have it on their side of the boundary. With that, Yorkville was requesting some language added in there about taking complaint calls there, who would be servicing it, and the lawyers worked out some additional language, a little more broader in its scope, but still specific to if there was aspects of if annexed into Oswego and there was any nuisances or complaints, how the cities would work together, and more so there would be a negotiating process and reimbursement. There wouldn't be a hard, you know, we're going to charge you hourly, but it would be, this language kind of more or less states negotiations will be considered for reimbursement in case of excess service by us. The police departments tend to work together anyway on situations like that, so we kind of fall within that purview. Overall, they did remove the self-determination zones, which was a staff recommendation. If you recall, there were several existing little subdivisions that are unincorporated. The original 2001 boundary agreement stated, oh, they'll get to choose. Well, kind of the whole point of the boundary agreement is to say, no, this is the line, you go this way, you go this way, that way you're not pitting people against each other, not pitting the cities against each other on who gets what. Staff overall recommends the adoption. They want to move forward with this language. Definitely at the last meeting, we had some for giving up by the lakes, some who didn't want to get rid of by the lakes, and then others just kind of on the fence, could understand both sides. So we wanted to move forward with this. This was a direction we were given. We still think the positives of a boundary agreement on a regional planning level outweigh any negatives that can come there. Obviously, it's a negotiation still between the code elected officials on both towns.
Sure.
So if we're okay and we want to discuss it more in the city council, we would post in December, the end of December 23rd in the Beacon for a public hearing. This would require a public hearing in front of city council first. And we would be looking to do that in January, with then a vote coming forward. So just looking for your comments.
I was kind of one of it was on the fence with it. Do we really like it?
I'm the same way. So I'm still on the fence right now. So
yeah, I mean, at this point, I think I'm ready to say they can have it. Let's just move forward. I mean, I was kind of on the fence because what if, you know, the new owners want to make it kind of a premier destination?
Yeah.
Right? So maybe that's good.
I was looking at revenue with the money too.
So that, you know, that was kind of my initial.
I hope they do. They still can have that.
Right. The location doesn't change, just the municipality which it lies in.
Right, and if they annexed in, they would be looking for utility use projects. So, you know, there are lots of other things that annexation could go along. This is more so a long-term agreement saying.
Sure.
So in this case, with the amount of utilities.
20.
So the utilities would come from us?
No.
If it annexed in Oswego, Oswego would have to.
Do they have them there?
Or the developer would have to, and it would be Oswego.
They do not.
They do not. Yeah.
So we would be the better choice.
Yeah.
If they wanted to annex.
Potentially.
Because we're a lot closer with the utilities, and they would, and Oswego would be, I think. That's just.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it might be there by the time they ever do anything with it.
Yeah, I have a hunch of that, too. So.
I don't think we're going to see it.
No.
Okay, any other questions, comments with 47? Any old business? Say any old business? And we don't have any additional business. Any citizens' comments?
There's no more citizens.
All right, then this meeting is officially adjourned at 6:45.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
We've got a little spicy for you.
Yeah.